It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weak?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche of France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello everyone and welcome to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hi everybody.
That's right. It's the final countdown, everybody.
Oh,
this is the
fun.
Last miracle.
It went by fast.
Gosh,
I thought
that
it was
song will be stuck
longer.
In everybody's head forever,
yeah,
Cher. It's
no,
like,
it's really funny. No, that was fun. It is. It's the last miracle. And
this has been a great series. Come on, man.
I've learned a lot.
I have too.
There's something different when you do it in chronological order. It's not that we haven't all heard these stories, but when you follow Jesus along the journey, and you see the very intentional things that he did along the way that you kind of miss when you do them out of order. You know,
it's so true.
You're not recognizing why he went through this city to that city and through here. And so it's really cool. It was
really fun. You know, how he always heals on the Sabbath.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a
like,
rebel.
Just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We called him a rebel for
sure.
So when
good.
It came to the religion of the world, you know,
right.
I think, you know, God's calling us to be rebels as well, you know, because
right.
Let's face it, religion's still well and alive
and
trying to water down people's faith and
everything,
you know. And God's not a religion. He's a relationship.
He is, and he's all about love and compassion. So I hope that you guys learned as much as we did about all of these stories and more about how much Jesus cares and loved and how much he was trying to teach the disciples and even their struggles, and then the blind Pharisees, and how no matter what there are people who would need a miracle from God to be able to hear him. They just have that mindset, you know. So we learned a lot about different people and different personalities and characteristics of all these people that we've heard clips of or one story here and there, but I think this was a fun series to do. So
absolutely.
So we're on.
Well worth the investment.
It was.
I know everybody enjoyed it.
So miracle, we have 39.
Yes, miracle number 39. And we've called a few things miracles that maybe weren't miracles to the miracle people, but because they didn't include people. Remember we talked a little bit about that.
And you know, we're not including Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected.
Yeah,
I think that's
an
amazing
miracle.
but you know, you take the ones that you can, and this is 39 for us.
We have to end it somewhere.
We do.
Because really, the whole Bible's a miracle.
really
we didn't
is.
Do
that's
Old
true.
Testament miracles,
oh,
you know?
God.
We didn't,
well,
I mean.
Those technically didn't have Jesus in them, but I would love to do some more on the miracles. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So let's jump in. Miracle number 39.
Yes, the second drought of the fishes.
Wow.
So this is the second time we're going to see the disciples go fishing, and that's in John 21, 1 through 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to read it?
You want to rock, paper, scissors, since it's the last one?
Okay.
Come on, ready?
Ready?
Right. 1, 2, 3. You
rock.
Win. You get to read.
Rock. I got a rock, and you got scissors. Okay,
you broke
me. Scissors. Okay.
Read.
All right, so John 21, 1 through 12. It's after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this is how he did so. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, who was from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of his were together. Simon Peter told them, "I am going fishing." We will go with you, they replied. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already very early in the morning, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" They replied, "No." He told them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they threw the net and were not able to pull it in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, tucked his outer garment, for he had nothing on underneath it. Well, that's good to know. And plunged into the sea. Meanwhile, the other disciples came with the boat, dragging the net full of the fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards. When they got out on the beach, they saw a charcoal fire ready with a fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon and Peter went aboard and pulled the net to the shore. It was full of large fish. But although there were so many, the net was not torn. "Come have breakfast," Jesus said. But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord.
Right.
So this has got some miracles inside of miracles, you know.
Right,
there's some
right.
other crazy things happening that...
So this is what, post-cross?
You know what?
I think this is when Jesus is back on the scene.
And he's revealing himself to all of them. I'm not sure. We're going to look into that, make sure we give you guys that.
I think it is.
It feels like that because they
didn't recognize him. They were all with him up until
all
the cross,
time.
And then they were scattered, and then they went fishing. So
right. So that sounds about right.
So that's really cool. No, I mean, it was. I mean, just... I can let you guys know.
Yeah, you think that.
So, you know, that's why Peter's like, it is the Lord.
Right. And he just jumps out of the boat and like just, you know, so excited, just leaps off the boat to go see him. So I think we have a question here.
Yeah, sure.
It would be a good way to start this off. It's like, were they wrong to go fishing? There's a lot of people that have opinions that are divided about this.
Sure.
Some say yes, because he had already given them instructions on what to do. And others say no, because there is no reprimand for going fishing. So this
right.
is a kind of an interesting thing to kind of look at for us and see.
Well, I think that, you know, they're sitting there. They've just seen Jesus crucified. They've had everything that they've done for all this time just kind of wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they just went back to what they were used to doing.
Oh,
and
that sounds
how many
familiar,
times
right?
have we in our lives, you know, been so on fire for God, and then the world circumstances come along and things shift and change, and, you know, before you know it, we are looking, you know, at life
right.
from
right.
our old perspective again. You know, we're
right.
like, well, we're going to, yeah, he said we were going to be fishers of men, but now let's just go fishing, because that's what we know, and we've kind of been, you know, messed up in our vision, really,
exactly.
in our plan. So.
Right. Well, you know, so I think the answer is yes, because Jesus had told them to wait in Galilee. If you
yeah.
look at Matthew 28:10, you know, Peter's decision to
yeah.
go fishing was a failure to wait,
sure.
but a failure to obey. You know, Jesus was evidently taking his time to meet up with the disciples, and I think we can assume the reason was to give the disciples time to wait and to see actually what they would
yeah.
do. I mean, so he could teach them another lesson.
Sure, sure. Yeah, Peter's occupation was fishing. So, you
right,
know, it's what he knew.
Right.
And we all do that, you know, many times in our lives. We go back to what we know. You know, in the aftermath of the crucifixion and the resurrection, Peter wasn't sure what the plan was. So he reverted back to handling life the way that he knew best. He just wanted to stay busy, you know, and we've all done that.
Right, right. I mean, I think we can identify with Peter, because we all have things that we could do well, and we often depend on them to make life work. You know,
yeah.
we're doing other things, but we have to wait on Jesus, and there was this waiting on Jesus was this full, it was full of uncertainty, so
sure.
fishing was sort of...
I got a story about that.
Okay.
You know, here in the last 3 years, you know, I had a major shift happen. You know, my pancreas had actually exploded in my body, and I spent, you know, 32 days in the hospital,
right.
another 6 months
yeah.
or
no,
right
I,
in my bedroom
all,
and trying to get
many of you remember
get
this.
Well, and I you know, you go back to ministry and things just didn't feel the same for me. I felt like some sort of a shift happened in my life. So what did I do? You know, I picked up my, I resigned from ministry, and I went back and picked up my tools and started doing
that.
Construction.
Right.
And I ended up doing construction almost for a year, you know, and I was sitting in a different church, and I wasn't really serving. I wasn't really doing anything. And I right. felt like the Lord just kind of came up to me, and he was like, what are you doing? You know,
right.
You know what I mean? Right. Is that, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. I'm just being at church and doing things. He's like, yeah. No, I've got more than that for
right.
you. You know, I have
right.
a calling on your life. You know, you're called to minister and this and that. And, you know, I didn't even know at that point God was about to open the door at Lighthouse Church, and I was going to become the senior pastor over here.
Right.
You know, I'd really kind of resolved to step out of ministry altogether and just go back and do life. And I still ministered to people. I still loved Jesus.
Right.
But
it was a regroup.
Yeah,
you
it was.
You were regrouping for sure. But
yeah.
he's like, okay, it's time, Kevin. You need to get back in the groove
yeah.
again.
But I think that's kind of what happened to the disciples. They just watched
like.
Jesus be crucified. And now, you know, he's been raised from the dead. They've seen him again, you know, but now he's coming to meet them,
right.
you know, and they're out fishing. And I think he's probably, you know, like we were saying, giving them a little bit of time, you know, to see what they're going to do. What are they going to do? You know, I think God did that with me maybe a little bit too. He's like, what's he going to do? And I was
right.
feeling it. I was feeling that push like, man, this isn't me. I should be doing more, you know, and we all feel that sometimes. But, you know, the bottom line is what we usually need to do in these situations is what? Trust God and what? Wait on him.
Right.
So,
right.
And
right.
I think it's important that the disciples caught nothing in their outing. And I kind of did the same thing in my construction. You know, the last job that I did,
fruit.
I lost money on. It was
right.
just, God was really making it evident that I wasn't a construction guy anymore. You
right.
know? And they're attempting to do things their own way, just like I was, and in their own power. And guess what? It didn't work.
During the catch, there's this faith of responding. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus. And so we don't know if this means that Jesus actually changed his appearance, or was it, you know, because it was, they said the dawn was breaking and, you know, maybe the sun was shining
yeah.
kind of on him. You could see that. Sometimes the sun is so blaring bright, even when we're driving down the road. You
sure.
know, maybe they just couldn't see him, but.
I don't know, man. I think he looked different. You know?
It says, although they were within hearing distance, so they could
yeah.
hear him, you know, was the light dim or they couldn't recognize his face? It just makes you question that,
sure.
you know, was this another miracle in itself, the fact that Jesus had transformed himself, or was it just, you know, some circumstances that caused that? But it's designed to draw faith and acknowledgement of Jesus, you know, and
sure.
their response was no argument. They obeyed and they caught a bunch of fish, right? You know, when they
sure.
did what Jesus told them to do. And this is kind of interesting. So John reports that there were exactly 153 fish caught in the net. That's what John says.
Wow.
And almost all the common...
That's a huge catch.
All the commentators agree that John has a reason for giving this number. And some of them guess that it's what the number might mean. You know, people are putting meaning to this number. So there's, you know, a lot of people that say that it was indicated that it happened at 153 AD.
Okay.
And that was a very important year. And so I wasn't really able to find a lot about that. But this is just, you know, we're going over some theories
yeah,
of people just trying
different
to
things
figure
people
out
think about this
why
stuff.
Was that number so significant. And, you know, it was 153. It wasn't 150 or – and John, if you think about it, he wasn't somebody that was really detailed in his – he kind of picked and chose what he said in his Gospels, you know.
Right.
We know, like, Luke was very, very, very detailed. John wasn't as much, so that's kind of interesting. He was detailed in this particular number. That's why people thought it had meant, you know, another
sure.
suggestion was that the number 100 stood for the Gentiles, the largest number, and 50 stood for the Jews, because they were only, you know, half as many, and then 3 stood for the Trinity, so that's another interesting
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, a lot
that
of
that
interesting ideas and philosophies
right.
and all that. You know, I mean, there are people making all kinds of assumptions, and I think it's cool. I think there's a lot of mathematical things that the Bible does have in it. I think it's
oh,
powerful.
God speaks
and,
in numbers.
You know, for sure. I mean, God invented math. So,
he sure did.
You know, I'd say probably another mathematical-minded commentator that we were looking at during the commentaries and stuff with this added the numbers from 1 through 17 and found they added up to 153. But he failed to say, you know.
Well, yeah, what's significant
what
about that?
What was the significance
of it? Like, okay, that added up to that. But
I love that people are curious, and there's never anything wrong, guys, with being curious about the Word, testing things in the Bible, and looking for answers.
Right.
And asking the Lord to show you things about
exactly.
these particular scriptures. And, you know, the bigger you dig, you know,
the digger
you big.
Right,
but,
exactly.
You know, but the more you dig in the Word, the more God will reveal to you, you know, and there
right.
are a lot of instances like that.
Yeah, I think the most likely answer is the suggestion of Jerome, the early church father that was in the Bible, who said the Greeks were widely regarded there. They were 153 kinds of fish in the sea.
Oh, wow.
So that would
every
make...
Every fish, every
that
person.
That would make it really cool. Like, I want it to be that one. I don't know how
yeah,
we could
right.
confirm that, but it sounds like a Jesus miracle. Of all the miracles we've gone through, that they would pull
yeah.
up 153 different types of fish, that would be very interesting,
yeah.
right? But we have no way to...
Signifying, like, you know what? Every person I'm going to minister to, I'm going to bring the gospel to every person, every, you know, nation, and
right.
all of that. So,
right.
Interesting thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. This is how you know, you can study and
right.
dig a little deeper and try to find answers to some of the things. And sometimes you do, and sometimes they're
sure.
kind of open-ended.
I've had a lot of theories that I've
yeah.
looked at in the Bible and disproved.
Right.
You know, and said, no, okay, well, that's just
right.
an idea that I had. But then there's other times when I find a little nugget of truth, and it's really powerful.
Yeah,
so
it's really
cool. I love
cool.
that stuff.
Yeah, me too. So let's talk about their recognition. You know, this reminds
right.
them of the time that Jesus called them as disciples,
sure.
you know, with a similar miracle. I think it's really interesting that we're having this as our last miracle,
it was
almost,
yeah.
I don't think it was the very first miracle. It was very close
right.
to the beginning of Jesus.
It was right at the beginning.
He was finding the disciples. So, you know, John is the first one that is catching on to this. And
sure.
at least they don't say, it's a ghost this time, you know.
Exactly.
they're not sure who he is, which is interesting because in the first one, they didn't recognize who he was.
Sure.
They thought he was a ghost. So that's
right.
kind of, there's some interesting parallels happening.
Yeah.
So we do see progress that they at least didn't think he was a ghost, but Peter may have put his clothes on so he would be dressed when the Lord came. I don't know. I just said this.
Sure.
Is funny. Anyways.
Well, I mean, I don't think that, you know, God really needed them to fish.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? He has what he needs. He said he would supply all of their needs. But
right.
I find it interesting that, you know, God used some of the fish that the disciples caught, and he had them eat them for the breakfast. You
yeah,
know, and I think
right.
that's a picture of how the Lord uses us to further his kingdom, share, to push things forward. And he allows us to partake in the reaping of the harvest of his kingdom and people. And,
right.
you know, some of the greatest relationships that I have in my life are people that I led to Christ, people that I, you know,
mm-hmm.
have done life with you know, mm-hmm. in the church and in
right.
friendships, even us.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
we weren't saved when we met.
That's right.
None of us.
Yeah.
And yet God has...
Well, yeah, I know, was, but...
Well, you know what I mean.
You and Paul were not.
Me and your husband were far from
you
it.
Guys were... Well, let's look
That's
a little
true.
Bit
you
more...
You were a good girl.
I was a good girl.
You were.
Let's look at the Lord's supply. So we're talking about, you know, he used the fish, you know, Jesus
right.
does have what we need, but they are dependent on him for supply and service, you know, what he does, what he had done for the multitudes, and now he's doing it for the disciples in a smaller environment, but he's bringing these fish
yeah.
and the bread. And
right.
so the same
for
two
the
symbols,
for, same thing,
right, for fish and bread are used by Jesus to show that he is the source of the supply. He is the salvation. He
yeah.
is the ministry, the blessing, you know, those two things, salvation
yeah.
and blessing. So Jesus is all they need and all they want, and he doesn't need to use them, but he chooses to use people in the process of his work and his will. So that's kind of an interesting,
yeah.
all these parallels. We know that there was a reason why this
sure.
was one of the last miracles.
Well, I mean, they didn't recognize him. We kind of talked about that. But what does it mean that they didn't question him? knowing that it was the Lord. You know, I think this indicates more than just a recognition, but that, hey, this is Jesus. But
right.
I think the idea is that they recognized that they were in the presence of God.
Right.
There was
right.
something happening here, that they were experiencing a moment, another teaching moment with Jesus of, listen, I have a new direction for you in your life. I have a new plan for
right.
you. And, you know, yeah, we see the charcoal fire.
Oh, yeah. Now, listen to this.
Come on,
this is crazy. Go ahead.
You can.
No. Oh, I just got excited because I knew what you were about to say. This charcoal fire, the only other charcoal fire is when Peter denied Jesus, and now we have another charcoal fire. And I'm sure that Jesus set this up as a reminder to Peter, like, there's some wild things happening that are closing these miracles up. You know, so now Jesus and Peter have this other conversation,
sure.
and then he asked Peter if he loved him more than these. So that's really crazy, like, down to the fire was intentional. The type of fire and
the fire,
right? And the and it being charcoal, and that's the only other time it's mentioned this way. I just love the Bible. They're so full of so much.
You could never tie it at all. You could never tie it all together.
No, hidden and levels and depth, you know. But there's some debate about some of these things that we're referring to. But it seems likely that there is some irony here, you know, about this stuff. I mean, Peter had boasted,
"I'll lay my life down for you,"
and Peter presented as boasting even more about his loyalty to Jesus, and even if they all fail, you know, fall away, I will not. So this
he was
is
the first one out.
Yeah. So this is forcing Peter here, you know, about some things. And now, after you've denied me three times, as I've told you that you would, can you still affirm your love for me more than these other disciples do?
Yeah, and Jesus asked him three times. You know,
he did. He
Peter,
did.
Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter,
right.
do you love me? Feed my lambs.
Right.
And he says, Peter, do you love me? And it says that he was kind of discouraged that Jesus asked him three times. But you know what? He asked him three times because he denied him three times. He was bringing him restoration.
Yeah, it's so good. You know? Yes,
and
that
God
restoration.
God is always bringing restoration. He is a God of restoration for each one of us.
He really is. And I love this story, and I loved so many of the hidden things in it that I hope maybe were new revelation for you guys that you didn't recognize or know about. So really, really, really cool, you know. The disciples needed this fresh lesson of relying on the power and the provision of Jesus again. And here he comes.
Because when they were with him and he was always there, it was like the provision was there.
Right.
But, you know, now they're on their own again. Now they're going to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows the Holy Spirit's coming and all that he's not going to be with them. And that they're going to have to learn to rely on the power of God in their own light.
That's
so
right.
Let's
That's
take
right.
a quick break, Cher, and
Sounds
then we'll
good.
Come back and finish up Miracle 39, the final countdown.
Sounds good. Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence, 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's the final miracle, miracle number 39 on this series that we've been doing.
Right.
And we've been talking about the second catch of fish when, you know, Jesus came to the disciples after the crucifixion. They didn't recognize who he was. He saw them out fishing, and he's like, you guys, throw your net to the other side. And the same thing that happened in the first, you know, story of the fish happened in the second. And then Peter knew it was the Lord, jumped out of the boat, and then they go up to Jesus. And
right.
You know, we kind of talked all through that story, but it's an amazing story.
It really is. And I think there are some like life lesson things we can take from this. So, you know, we mentioned this, but God can supply all my needs for my life as well as service.
Yeah.
We can remember
with one
that.
Word.
Right.
The supply came.
That's right.
And love that.
You know, he demands my absolute obedience in following him.
Right.
You know, they had to make a choice. He told them to do this. And
yeah.
I've noticed a lot lately, God's asking people to do things, and it requires that obedience, you know. And
well, I think we got to always remember that his way is always the best way, Sherry.
So you know, it's you can learn that the easy way or the hard way.
You know, it's like my way or the highway, you know. It's like, no, I think God's way is always the best way.
You know, his way for me may be different than someone else's, and
sure.
That's a good thing. You know, we found out.
We got to be careful about that because we can quickly judge other people. Looking at what God's called them to do. I've had people look at me, and I've got the heavy metal ministry, and they're just like, "There's no way God's called you to do that." You know, and I know for a fact that he has.
Right.
So we got to be careful because every path that God chooses for each individual person is unique.
And, you know, there's three affirmations here with Jesus in this miracle. You know, we see that the love of Christ is the major motivation for the miracle. It's love, hope, restoration, you know, all of these things we saw throughout all the miracles, you know, of Jesus are here in this. So it's just really a good reminder and a really cool miracle to finish with.
Well, guys, we really hope that you enjoyed this series on the miracles of Jesus. I know it was a long one, but we really felt the Lord calling us to share that with each and every one of you. And this wraps it up, but I want to hear testimonies. If you've been touched by the series, if you've been, you know, healed during this process or anything like that, we would love to have you communicate that with us at testimony@ourlighthouse.net. We hope to hear from you, and we hope that each and every one of you have an amazing day. This is Kevin and Cher with
Turn
the Light On.
See you soon.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marylawn, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.